You're listening to What They...
What They...
What They...
What They Talking.
A podcast that talks about lifestyle,
culture,
technology, politics,
Hollywood,
business,
stocks,
so you can
get your money.
Let's get to it.
Welcome to another episode of What They Talking. We are back from our extended vacation. Lovely summer went by here. Me, Jay, and Boogie was out here having a great time. Great to be back on the podcast, giving you guys some interesting stories that you know we got queued up. So before we get to it, Jay, what's cracking, bro? How was your time off?
My summer vacation was great. I mean, I haven't had one of those in I don't know how long, but had a great time with you boys in Mexico. I think we need to kind of tell the people all of the adventures that we had. You know, just to give you all a little preview, we ended up at a timeshare pitch in Mexico where Mr. Dizzle decided that he was going to sign us up in order to get a free bottle of tequila, which we never got. So we got sales pitched for about 2.5 hours by the most overzealous salespeople you could ever want. They try to throw numbers at us. I think I just looked at my phone the whole time and said, I'm leaving. And I eventually got up. Boogie and Dizzle were like, oh, this could work. How much, like asking them to run numbers. I'm like, man, I'm trying to get to my vacation. Why are we at a timeshare thing? Felt like an episode of South Park.
Crazy. It really was, because when we would leave one place, boom, we'd get, you know, ambushed by another salesman.
Like this happened with the promise of free breakfast and 2 free bottles of tequila, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, we get our breakfast. We basically tell the guy, hey, man, we're going to level with you. We're here for the breakfast and the 2 bottles of tequila. He's like, no, right. No problem. Just we'll skip all the other stuff. Just give me 20 minutes. All right, fine. Go through all that. We finally think that we're done. We're like, we're not interested. Thank you. Literally got up and walked out. I'm like, okay, cool. Let me just take you into this room over here to give you your bottle of tequila. As we show up, they start running numbers in front of us again. And at this point, I'm like, I don't care how many pesos or bottles of tequila that you give me, I'm out. And we just literally got the car and left. So that was a great way to spend our vacation. So shout out to Dizzle for setting us up for that.
Hey, man, at the end of the day, it was an experience. We got the chance to ride like 100 miles an hour on the freeway.
Mexico does not believe in speed limits. I'll tell you that. Well, and then the worst part about it is the shit that happened to me. So day one, we get there, come out of the airport, Dizzle signs us up for some timeshare thing. Not cool, but whatever. And as we stop to get some beer to put in our Airbnb, because after all, we are on vacation, you know, when they say when in Rome, but it's when in Mexico. So that as I'm getting back in the car, pulling back to the hotel, we get out. I notice my wallet's gone. So what do? Mr. Dizzle, kind enough to take me back, circle around, start looking for it. Now, your boy over here speaks about 6th grade Spanish, you know, habla español un poquito. So I didn't know the word for wallet off the top of my head. And of course, the store clerks don't speak English, nor should they. It's their country. And I walk in and I start showing them the word for wallet, and they're just as confused as I am as to what's going on. And so basically, long story short, don't find the wallet. Keep in mind, it's a nice Louis Vuitton wallet. It was like $500. Not good. Maybe $120 in cash. I'm like, oh, that shit's gone. But what, an hour later, I start getting all these notifications that my card is being used for fraud. And they literally went through every single one of my cards. And then they finally got one that worked, which was my work credit card. Now, I work for a really large tech company, right? So they monitor all that stuff. And so I go and I look at what the charge is. I'm like, what are they trying to buy? Like, I'm expecting someone to go try to buy stuff at Walmart or whatever, you know, or maybe some real ass expensive item. Nope. There's a charge for $95 to a website called probiller.com. So I look at it. What the heck is ProBiller, you ask? Well, it's a subscription aggregate website for pornography. So they have browsers, they have Bangbus, all these other things under one subscription. And they bought the shit on my work card, bro. I had to file an expense report with my company with pornography on as a line item.
Man, that's crazy. Bro, porn is free, bro. It's free.
Like, I know it's Mexico. You got, like, the internet might be as strong, but y'all got free porn. What are you doing? I think like it must have been some like 16-year-old kid that like stole my car, because 16-year-old me would have done the same thing, right? But and so, you know, in other words, just make sure you keep your passport handy, keep your wallet in a secured pocket. And if you out here buying pornography and someone's credit card you stolen, get a new hustle. You're buying the wrong
stuff. Imagination. What would you buy if he gave him $1 million? I wonder.
Man.
A porn empire.
Probably. Well, so, man.
What he's buying, he's probably buying a Costco sized tub of lotion, bro.
Man, but it was an experience. We had a good time. We had a great time.
Great time.
Boogie, how was your time, man?
It was good. Yeah, I visited my dad for a couple weeks. Obviously, Mexico was dope. The Airbnb there was pretty sick. Sick views, you know, good shit.
Muy bueno.
But yeah, man, other than that, chilling, working.
Drinking.
I haven't been drinking. Just a muy poquito. Actually, I was the only one that didn't get trashed on the Mexico trip. Jay, on the other hand, Jay was sloppy one of those nights.
Yeah, at one point, like, I thought I was speaking crystal clear English. Next morning, I wake up, Boogie's like, you slurred every other word. You weren't saying sentences. I was like, all right, good to know.
I'm but just then glad I ended it up wasn't with, me.
Yeah, but y'all boys got lucky. I must have had some of the ice or something, because your boy got Montezuma's revenge. So the last day of the trip, yeah, I did not leave.
That, man, you guys were all making fun of me. All making fun of me for my special margaritas.
Well, even even the Mexican bartenders are making fun of you. You kept asking for a margarita, no ice. So like,
yeah.
Y'all can't see my face right now, but it's a very perplexed and inquisitive look. And they all made fun of him, and looks like he got the last laugh, because I'm screaming and crying in the bathroom. Not good,
E, how did you do, man? Did it catch up to you when you got back?
Man, man. Only thing that I had a problem, man, with was when I went into the gas station when I got back to the States. I almost was like, hola! I was like, dude, what the hell am I doing? I'm in America, stupid, bro. Calm down, man.
Oh, how was your driving when you got back? Were you running red lights and shit?
Oh, man. Hey, bro. Hey, you know what? I did all the driving during the trip. And, yo, there's no rules in Mexico, of course.
No, there's rules. You just ignored them completely and just decided that, like, red was a suggestion. I don't know if you thought, like, somehow traffic laws were different or backwards. I don't know, man. But
bro, was out here. You saw the people driving. I was just out here.
We had to tell Dizzle, hey, Dizzle, it's red.
Yeah,
every stoplight, hey man, it's red.
Hey man, hey yo, it was cool, man. When I got back though, man, I had to you know, basically take a driver's test again so I could figure out how to drive, bro, because I was out here whipping, dude.
I don't know, for some reason I like imagine Alabama and Mexico aren't that different when it comes to driving.
Oh my god. Oh my god, this dude, bro. That's messed up, bro. Anyway, all in all, man, our vacay from the podcast, that joint was pretty dope. Like I said, we all went to Mexico. We all went to different parts of the States too. I had a great time in Miami. You know,
Miami, Vegas.
Yeah,
we
Vegas.
Was in Atlanta together, bro.
We were. We played a lot of things. I mean, yeah. We did a lot of things, man, but definitely glad to be back on the pod and start getting you guys updated on some of these stories and opinions we got, man. So, you know, as I always say, got these stories chewed up for you guys. So let's get to it. First story of the day, Amazon Astro. Man, people say cute. Everybody says nice little robot walking around, keep surveillance on your house, can watch your child. Let you know, like, hey, man, little Junior here choking on some milk or something. You know what I'm saying? You get alerts on your phone. It's pretty dope. But what Amazon fails to tell you about, that they're having some really, really serious privacy concerns going on with this robot. Basically, a lot of people buy the robot. It's only by sign up only. You got to be invited to sign up to get the robot. And it's going to cost you about $1,000. But when it's released to the entire world, it's going to be about $1,400. When it's out there in the world, you got your robot going around, people will say, hey, you know, it's pretty dope. You can talk to it and different things like this. But just like Alexa and Echo and all these other things that Amazon has, they'll tell you, you know, we're not going to keep your data. So if you go to Alexa and be like, hey, you know, order me some hemorrhoid cream, Amazon tells you, we're not going to keep the recording of hemorrhoid cream, but we will make a record that you ordered it.
Oh, shit. Oh, sorry. I had a little tickle in my throat. Amazon's never stored data before. That's for sure. You know, totally believe them. Bezos, super trustworthy guy. You know,
man. But also set aside that law enforcement right now, they already have served on Amazon about 30,000 warrants, subpoenas, court orders. They've served all these. They call it the most recent biannual information request report for law enforcement. If Astro is covered underneath those devices, basically you will have a device running around your home that will basically be mobile surveillance for law enforcement. How you feel about that? It's the cops listening, yo.
Yeah. My whole thing is like with large tech companies, you know, they say one thing out the side of their mouth and then do something completely different out the other, right? Like, so another relevant example. So Amazon, you know, they're claiming they're going to protect your data, your privacy. You know, that's not the case. When they acquired Ring, the doorbell surveillance company that you all have probably seen, they made it easier for law enforcement to access said cameras, which, again, in principle, we all want a safe, protective neighborhood, but you can definitely see a way in which that could quickly be a slippery slope. I mean, the government in general, not so good about protecting your privacy, your data, considering the NSA and the threat that does. Shout out to the Patriot Act. Thanks a lot, George Bush, you piece of shit. Anyways, but the other kind of relevant example too, as well, is you probably saw in the news, Apple, they're like, hey, we have this amazing new service or feature set where we're going to scan your phone for child pornography pictures, right? Yeah, without your consent. And all of the privacy hawks, like Edward Snowden's of the world, said this is a really bad idea. And it's funny, and I bring up that example because Apple's entire kind of marketing and sales pitch as of late has been, let's protect your data, privacy. Mm-hmm. That's been their whole mantra. And now they go do this, you know, while the left hand is telling you one thing, the right hand is over here doing something else. So I don't know. I think if you're outsourcing babysitting and surveillance to a robot, which if you look at that robot, I've never seen a more like kickable robot in my face or in my ears. I want to just kind of kick that thing right in the face and punt that. Yeah, I would be terrified. It. Oh, it's got like basically like an iPad on its head. Is it like two little eye looking cameras? That thing's getting,
It's a snitch though. It's just a snitch. It's there to tell you everything.
It's basically a smaller version of those robots that go around the mall and they look like R2-D2 from Star Wars. Yeah. And you always see videos of people messing with them and just kind of rolling them on their side. And they're just like,
you're going to pay $1,400 for a robot that doesn't even like vacuum for you or do anything.
Yeah, at least put a little Roomba like attachment on it. Clean my shit up. Like, okay. if you surveilling my kid to see when they dropped a Cheerio to go sweep it up, I'm all for it. But if you just snitching on me, all you husbands out there doing dirt, y'all have been put on notice. Stop bringing ladies to your house. You be shitty people. Come on now.
It's snitching on the kids too. So the kids, their parents think their parents gone. They out here doing something slick like they ain't supposed to be doing. Boom. We got that ass. Amazon, Astro, alert your mama.
Well, until the kid is smart enough to just put a blanket over it. Like, what kind of surveillance system is stopped by a household blanket? Little kids put a little blankie on it, and then it's no good. Does it talk or do anything cool, or does it literally just, like, aggregate data to, like, some screen for you that you, like, check in on?
It's basically an Alexa on wheels with the camera.
Whack.
Yeah. That's trash.
So it still can control your household devices.
Does it play music though? Because if you could get it to follow you around the house while it's playing music, that's kind of dope. I'm not paying $1,400 for that. I'll just tape a speaker to my dog, but still.
There you go.
He's never snitched on me.
But all in all, that's that Astro. Astro is really out here, folks, snitching on everybody. Kids, your husband, your wives, it's snitching to the police. If you want it though, get ready. When it's released, $1,450, go ahead. Get you an Astro and prepare to get snitched on. So, Jay, Mr. Hollywood Jay, you know, it feels good to say that again. Let me do it one more time. Jay, Mr. Hollywood Jay, what you got for us today?
So the first story we got is the man who never seems to go away. Former President Donald Trump is suing Twitter in the state of Florida in order to essentially file an injunction to stop his ban, right? If you recall, right before he lost the presidency in a fair election, you know, fair and square, he lost, Twitter suspended his account, and basically he's been kicked off virtually every social media platform of relevance, right? You know, there's some of these other Rumble and all these other ones that he may try to get going, but they ain't shit, right? So he's filing an injunction to essentially reverse the ban and allow him to tweet. This is more kind of following Ron DeSantis, who's the governor of Florida. He wrote a law that basically said for social media companies who censor or essentially deplatform political officials, there will be kind of fines to that social media company. So this is the first real test of that law. A lot of legal scholars say this law is nothing more than show. It's really not going to stand up, mostly because when you sign on to Twitter, everyone has those terms of service that you don't read. Some people might, but you really just click through, you accept them. Those terms of service say if there's any disputes, it literally tells you where that this will either be litigated or tried. And typically what tech companies do will choose states that are most favorable to their viewpoints and where they reside. So they get a lot of tax dollars, right? So that would be, in this case, California or New York. Florida has absolutely zero jurisdiction. So I think this lawsuit on its face will essentially be thrown out. A lot of legal scholars said that the law in general was, you know, iffy at best. So this will be the first real test. But I don't know. I just want to think y'all's thoughts on people like the former, he was the sitting president at the time, being deplatformed, and get y'all's thoughts on that. Do you think this is a good thing that Trump's off Twitter? Do you think it's a slippery slope? What's y'all's take on it?
We need Trump back on Twitter, man. If people
Twitter ain't Twitter without Trump,
yeah, it's not. But also, like, you know, this is America. Like, you're gonna ban somebody off of there, you're pretty much, you know, not allowing them to speak or have a platform, whatever the case is. So they're just choosing Trump because sometimes he's controversial, right? And he says some crazy shit. But at the end of the day, you got to do your due diligence, right? You don't go injecting fucking Lysol into your body because of one of his comments, you know?
Like, and if you are sense. Like, that's Darwinism at play. But I think
absolutely
for me, it is in fact that real slippery slope, right? Because if they can essentially censor, for lack of a better term, the sitting president of the United States, do you think us little peons, us little peasants have a shot? No, like, right. Our country is founded on the First Amendment, the right to freedom of speech. What comes with that freedom is the ability for people to say dumb things and things that you don't agree with. That's the whole purpose of this. It's not just because I don't like this viewpoint or that one. And I personally think it's a slippery slope in that you may agree with who they're censoring today, but that pendulum can swing very quickly, and someone that you don't agree with can then get that power and start censoring everyone else. And I think Twitter is like essentially the public square, right? Like, it's, I don't know, they want their cake and eat it too. They want to be treated as a platform and a publisher at the same time. And you can't really have that. I think it should be regulated like a utility, like the phone company, right?
Yeah.
You know, the phone company themselves isn't responsible for someone calling and doing a drug deal or ordering a hit. It's that individual that's responsible, but they still allow them to utilize the phone.
At the end of the day, Twitter is a private owned company. It's not owned by the United States.
But they openly talk about all the time. And this has happened across administrations. So this isn't a right or a left thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They are in active conversations with the government. So the government is essentially by proxy using this company to shut down speech they don't like. Like, whomever is in power, right? The left done it. Like, so that private company BS kind of falls flat when you're essentially by proxy being told by the government who to shut down and who not to shut down.
True. You know? I mean, but it's up to them to listen, though, right?
But if there's threats from the government, essentially, like, we're going to come up with you in antitrust and break you up and say that you're a monopoly, that's direct recourse for not listening. So it's essentially being strong-armed into it. So I don't know. I think we're at an inflection point. We've never had this type of technology before. We're still very much in its early stages. So we're trying to figure out how this all works and regulates. But it has been pretty funny to watch him circumvent that by literally putting out essentially like emails that he writes that someone posts, and it's like in all caps, like he's tweeting, but as the official seal of the president. It's pretty freaking funny.
Yeah.
I think if he gets allowed back on Twitter, I guarantee you his first tweet is going to be like hilariously fire, and someone should turn around and sell that as an NFT, because that's going to be hilarious. He's going to be like, I'm back, bitches, or something like that.
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi is a dog.
Trump.
Yeah.
Man, so, Trump 2024. Let's go.
Man, this dude,
I think he'd go away, but
shit.
He is hilarious.
I actually just bought his book, The Art of the Deal. So I'm going to take a gander at that. I actually have a friend who read it and said it was really fucking good. I mean, he's not a Trump fan or supporter, but he highly recommended it.
Yeah, so just let us know what you think about Twitter censoring people or just social media companies in general. Also, one last point on that. They also allow like the leader of the Taliban to be on Twitter. So like, where is the line?
Damn.
You know, it's a little, you're going to deplatform a president who says crazy shit. Don't get me wrong. Like, I do not agree with his viewpoints, but then you've got an actual terrorist on the platform. So
who cuts people's really, heads off and shit like that. Jesus.
Hangs people from cranes that recently came out. Yeah. For lack of a better transition, speaking of death, we've got a story to talk about as well. You've probably seen all over the news over the last few weeks, that of Gabby Petito. So for those of you who don't know, Gabby Petito is a 22-year-old white woman. This will come into play in the conversation a little bit later, who essentially had a YouTube channel with her fiance, Brian Laudrie, in which they did the whole nomad van life thing where they would just take a trip around the country, live out of a van, take a bunch of videos, pictures, essentially build a following that way. She had a decent following. I think it was in like the 20 to 30,000 range in terms of subscribers. Well, she went with Brian Laudrie and she essentially went missing. Let me see if I can pull up the timeline here. Let's see here. So she was last seen on FaceTime with her mother on August 24th when she was with Brian Laudrie. She told her mom she's going to Teton Range in Wyoming. It's like a national park where, you know, people camp and get YouTube content and everything else. And on August 25th, she didn't FaceTime her mom. She just started texting. And then the texts got increasingly weirder and seeming not like Gabby. So her family believes at this point that those texts weren't from her. But long story short, you know, on August 30th, they received the last text from her, supposedly, that said no service in Yosemite. Well, 2 days later, on August 1st, Brian Laudrie shows back up in Florida with the van and no sign of Gabby. So he essentially went on this cross-country trip with her, came back. She wasn't with him. He essentially immediately lawyered up. His family protected him, wouldn't allow him to talk to the police unless through a lawyer. So already some pretty shady stuff. Well, fast forward. He's essentially escaped and he's on the run after being named a person of interest. And now a warrant has been issued for his arrest for essentially like banking and wire fraud for unauthorized use of a credit card. Now, it doesn't say whose credit card. We can only kind of infer that it's most likely Gabby's that he was using. But you're probably wondering, James, why are we talking about this? This doesn't sound very Hollywood. Well, there's been a new development in the case. And Brian Laudrie, you were on notice because the one and only Dog the Bounty Hunter has entered the mix.
Yes.
Not on the trail of this fugitive. Dirty Brian Laudrie. Dirty Laudrie, right? So he's basically effed because you don't get away from the dog. I mean, go with Christ, brah. You know, as he says, go with Christ, brah. But he's hot on the trail. He said he's gotten a bunch of tips. He's been working closely with law enforcement. They were originally searching for Brian Laudrie in Florida and kind of like these swamps that are like gator infested and like really treacherous terrain to live in. But Dog claims he's gotten a tip and has seen security footage on, I think, September 6th of Laudrie and his family entering into a different park within Florida. And then 2 days later, only Laudrie's parents leaving in the vehicle. So they think that he's essentially on the lam in this park. And Dog has been hot on the trail. He's found recently, he's been sharing updates on Twitter. So make sure you take a follow there. But basically, he found a recently used campsite where there was like a monster can that was left there that like had no rust and had only like just recently been there. So he thinks he's hot on the trail. But other interesting angle, and there's been a lot of articles and reports lately about kind of the injustice of the media seemingly always highlighting and providing information, trying to bring to light when a white woman goes missing, as opposed to the multitude of indigenous and women or even just people in general of color going missing. There seems to be little to no news coverage. So Dizzle, what's your take on that? I mean, do you wish you were seeing more info about that? Do you think, you know, what's your take on it?
Just being honest with myself and just looking at it from my point of view, I mean, when every time you look on the news and you see not a white person in general becomes missing, man, you got CNN on it, you got Twitter, you got the news, all kinds of different, like, major newscasters are all over it trying to find this person. But when it becomes a black person, I mean, like in the past, what we get a milk carton, it don't really turn big unless it's an involvement with, like,
a white person. A white person took the black person. Yeah.
Or somebody, or a black man murdered somebody. We were going to hunt to go find that black man. But if the black man is missing or the black woman is missing, it doesn't become a big deal like it is now. It's always on the smaller scale.
I think this one differs a little bit. I totally agree with you that we're, you know, always seeing stories of white women or even white children, right? When something happens to them, it becomes a significant news story. I think this one is a little different for a couple of reasons. The first being Gabby Petito really had like a social media following. Like, she had some like pretty diehard stans, right? So this actually swelled up on social media because people noticed she was missing, and this became kind of a hot topic trending on Twitter and on Facebook. So that kind of forced news media's hand to pay attention to it, right? You see this groundswell of supporters. I think the other problem I have is when CNN and everyone else sits up here and complains about missing white woman syndrome, like, the media doesn't cover this. Excuse my language, but bitch, you are the media. Start covering it. Like, what are you doing? How are you going to, outside one of them, I'll say, all we do is highlight this. And then in that same segment, not mention a single person of color or someone else that is missing or needs attention. You just are virtuous signaling to the highest order, patting yourself on the back. Like, you own the airwaves. Literally, you are the definition of the media. You curate the stories.
Yeah, we also got to look too, like, they don't have the resources to cover every single missing person, right? And I don't think there's these missing cases or even crimes. Like, who was a long time ago, there was this white woman who they accused of killing her child, Casey Anthony.
Fuck that bitch. She killed her daughter 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that bitch.
100%. But it's not an everyday thing, right? So these kind of come up. It's people get.
But you have resources. I understand you can't do every national news segment, but you could have a whole division that literally has a section of your online webpage that just.
But what about your phone?
Solely focuses on it.
Your phone. It's so easy for them. Like, you get the Amber Alerts, right? Yeah. You get those, but you don't get them.
Those are geo-based.
I can agree, though. I can agree with only one part of the whole story that you said, Jay. Like, even when you say, Boogie, like, we don't have the resources, I'm like, fuck that, yo.
No, we got the resources.
But when I say,
in the news, you're not just going to follow missing people all the time and make them national cases, right?
You can have a whole sub webpage on CNN.com
Boogie, you're a finance guy, right? You're a finance guy. You know how to delegate money to certain funds so you can get stuff done. But you can delegate resources to that. It doesn't make money,
is what I'm saying. Like, they're not going to do it because it doesn't make them money. They're not going to get viewers when you're following nobody.
Like, tomorrow they could announce, we have a whole desk of the news now focused on this, and they could go to different companies to sponsor it and put ads on it to feed it, because that's great PR for them. It's a way for them to get a win. And then imagine if you could say, as an individual advertising company, I helped fund this initiative,
which
has led to this many.
No, they're not doing it, but they
I mean, it sounds great in theory, but they're not doing it for a reason, probably because.
But then they turn around and chastise. "Quote unquote," the media for not doing it.
That's
what I'm saying.
Is
you have the power to change
themselves.
It. At least try, right? But go ahead. What else do you disagree with?
I disagree with all the other shit. The only thing that I do agree with is that a lot of the black people that are missing and out there, they didn't have a social media following like this lady. They didn't have that. So I can see social media following playing a factor, because your fans are looking, they're tweeting, they're posting, da 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 da. So I can see that. And that's going to make a news or a media caster say, oh, snap, this is becoming a story. Let me grab that. I see that part 100%. But that doesn't, like, dismiss the fact that when it is a black person, it's not that much attention being brought to that case. And I'm going to ride that wave until I die because I see it in every day, bro.
The people who have the power to change it are not doing it. They're just pushing blame to the side. Yeah, I mean, I wish I even had reporters right now who were covering those individual cases so y'all could take a look. Oh, long story short, they also found Gabby Petito's body. So she's confirmed. It's been ruled a homicide. It's confirmed she's died, but now it's just the focus has shifted to catching him and getting more information. Whether he did it or not, we don't know. This is all speculation, but that motherfucker did it.
So right now, like their body's still going through the autopsy, but I think they did say that it had visible signs of trauma from
attack. Yeah, I think they were trying to find a cause of death. He was also essentially separated for hitting her in public and all these other things.
Yeah, there's multiple cases of that issues in that regard with the police and stuff like that. So
yeah, but you know, thoughts and prayers to Gabby's family. Yep. Dog the bounty hunter, do your thing, bro. Go with Christ.
On snag dog, this dude. Was he retired? He was retired, right? And he came out of retirement or no? Okay,
I don't know if he did. He pulled a Michael Jordan to come on scene. Dog the bounty hunter's flu game right now. Yeah, you ain't getting away from the dog, the bounty hunter. But yeah, that's my stories of the day. Boogie, what you got for us?
I got a story for y'all today about Bruce's Beach. So I didn't really know about this. I didn't know any of the history background. My girlfriend had told me about it, so I thought, wow, that's really interesting. So Bruce's Beach is in the Manhattan kind of beach area. Basically what happened was back in the early 1900s, a black family purchased this area of beach, this real estate. So it was like a dance hall. There was a cafe. They had changing rooms, kind of all this good stuff. And it was a really popular spot for.
And Manhattan Beach, for those who don't know, it's like south of Los Angeles. Beautiful, ritzy area. Obviously, it's developed into that since the 1900s, but like prime real estate.
Oh, yeah. Willa Bruce had purchased it. That land for $1,225 in 1912. So the Ku Klux Klan, the white neighbors were trying to threaten and scare this family off along with some other families because I think there were probably over two dozen other black families who kind of moved in, built cottages and stuff in that area. The Ku Klux Klan actually succeeded in burning down one of those homes by burning a mattress and putting it underneath the home. So when scare tactics didn't work and they couldn't get the family to leave, the state pretty much came in and seized it through eminent domain. For those of you who don't know what eminent domain is, it's basically the power of the state or national government to seize private property for public use. So how I knew about it was actually from the building of the railroad. They did that a lot when they sent it through the country and things like that. So basically the government's supposed to pay the family whatever it's worth. So I think the family had gotten like $14,000 for that chunk of property where the government said they're going to build a park on it and they left it empty for decades. And it wasn't just the Bruce's family property. They seized over two dozen other properties in that area as well.
So, from all black people that they seized it from, like exclusively?
Racist. Exclusively. Yeah, all black owned properties. So really fucked up shit, but some good news. After a century, it is actually being returned to the Bruce family. Anthony Bruce is the great-great-grandson of Charles and Willa Bruce. So he is getting that land back. So that's a good win. What are you guys' thoughts?
I mean, you covered a lot of it. Only thing that I really look at right now is that, damn, I wish I had some people that had a couple of thousand dollars back then, bro, because what it's worth now is stupid.
Come on. Adjusting for inflation in today's price, it would have been like $28,000, which property in Manhattan Beach, for those who know, is like, you're starting at seven figures. A million will get you a shack in Manhattan Beach. And they had this beachfront property like that. They were essentially robbed of an opportunity to create generational wealth that is being corrected now. But just imagine the appreciation on that over time and what that family could have done with that money, right? That impact downstream generations when you're starting in 1912. So I'm glad they were able to correct that. I think Gavin Newsom was the one who kind of wrote that into law. So
he did.
Gavin doing something good for a change. Good job, dude. We'll applaud you, give you credit when you're making good choices like that. But shout out to that family. That's got to feel awesome.
Yeah, yeah, I bet it does feel awesome.
Yeah, he actually apologized to the family. The Manhattan Beach, they wouldn't apologize, not once, and they wouldn't even return the land, nothing. But Gavin came out, did some shit.
That's the biggest problem with our society today, yep, is like nobody is willing to apologize. Like we draw a line in the sand. Like, yep, you see this all the time too with wrongful convictions, right? There'll be evidence to overturn it, and then some individual does not want the political hit or potential negative coverage, so they just sit on that and don't practice restorative justice, right? So shout out to that family for getting what was rightfully theirs.
But Anthony Bruce, I mean, it's a good opportunity for him. I would bulldoze that park and I would start leasing that land, man. Businesses, hotels, whatever you want to put on it, he's going to be in a good spot. We'll just say that. Yeah. So good luck.
So as always, we going to hit you guys with our random story of the day. I think I got a good one for you. Now, all of us like to eat good food, whether it's, you know, 3 Michelin, 2 Michelin stars, or the cheap little taco joint around the corner from your house. But there's this one place called 11 Madison Park. Wonderful restaurant, man. 3 Michelin stars. It's got a 15,000 person long wait list just to get in here. It's $335 for a tasting menu. You won't get full, but you'll taste a lot of stuff, man. And it's completely vegan. Completely vegan. It's set aside from just having the milk or honey when you want to add to your tea. They'll allow that. But to the world's eye that's coming in, it is all vegan. But there is a catch. If you got that cake, you got a catch. And Jay, what can you do here?
Oh, well, if you got that bread, you can book a private room in which they serve, take a guess, meat. So if you pay extra money at an all-vegan restaurant, you can get served high-end quality meat. I'm talking tenderloin. I'm talking ribeyes. I'm talking some Wagyu. Like, talk about the biggest hypocrites in the world. Like, it's essentially a metaphor for kind of Manhattan life, right? When you think about Manhattan life, it's luxurious, but there's always one level up if you can afford it. And so they're catching a lot of heat, and rightfully so, for claiming to be a vegan restaurant. They're going all vegan to support sustainability and, you know, for the love of the animals. But if you got that bread, you can get that blood.
Oh, all up in the chops. USDA grade, baby. What you think about that, Boogie? What you think? Man.
Yeah, well, I think vegan. So I get vegan as a cuisine, right? So I get that. But what I don't understand is people who are, they want to be vegan, but then they got to eat fake meat. Like, if you want to be vegan, eat your fucking salads and shut the fuck up. Don't be eating the fake meat. Like, you don't want the meat, don't be trying to create fake fucking meat.
Stop calling it meat. Don't do what Dizzle did to me. Take me to Butcher's Daughter in Venice, which is a vegan restaurant, and try to tell me I got to try the vegan bacon. Bruh, this was the worst thing I've ever had. I would have been totally fine if you said you got to try this dish and they didn't call it bacon. Like, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. Just tell me, like, this is...
It was bacon some, with a
what
bee,
was it, tempeh?
Bro. Yeah, it was tempeh. Yeah,
fucking tempeh. Jesus fuck.
Hey, man, it was good at the time. Like I tell you before, when you're with me, fellas, we're going to have an experience, bro.
A shitty one made me throw up, but that's fine. It's an experience.
Shout out to my boy out there in Mexico. I forget his name already, man, but shout out to him, man.
Shit.
But anyway, man, that's our random story of the day. So we gave y'all good old Astro on how he's snitching on everything he do in your house, Jay.
We gave you Trump trying to get back on Twitter, Gabby Petito and Dog the Bounty Hunter is on the case now. Go Christ, brah, Boogie.
Yeah, and we talked about Bruce's Beach and the win for the Bruce family.
Got that land back. Reparations.
Let's go in full swing.
Hey, but we back, y'all. We appreciate you guys sticking with us through the hiatus that we took, but we'll be back now. We're gonna start doing a podcast every other week. So make sure to follow and subscribe so it just goes right to the top of your queue when we release it. But we appreciate y'all and we're glad to be back.
It's your boy Dizzle.
It's your boy Hollywood.
It's Boogie.
Thank you guys for listening to What They Talking. See you guys back in 2 weeks. Peace. USDA grade, baby.
All opinions expressed on this podcast are our own and do not constitute financial advice in any way whatsoever. Nothing published or said by Swirl constitutes an investment recommendation, nor should any data or content published by Swirl be relied upon for any investment activities. Swirl strongly recommends that you perform your own independent research and/or speak with a qualified investment professional before making any financial decision.